Imagine discovering your house's front door lock is, fundamentally broken.
Right, like an absolute critical flaw.
Exactly. So you rush out, you buy the newest, most secure model available, and you change it immediately.
Naturally, you want to feel safe.
Right, you feel completely safe. But then, like 3 days later, without ever seeing the blueprints or the schematics for your new lock, a burglar just walks right through your front door.
Oh, wow.
They simply analyzed the new lock from the outside, figured out how it worked, and reverse engineered a master key.
Which is terrifying.
It really is. And welcome to this deep dive, because that scenario, that is the exact reality of cybersecurity right now.
It is, yeah. We are seeing it everywhere.
We really are. And we have a stack of incredibly urgent threat intelligence reports on the table today for you. Our overarching mission here is to look squarely at what we are calling the shrinking weaponization timeline.
And this is a fundamental shift, I mean, in the very physics of cyber defense. We are looking at that terrifyingly short window between a vendor releasing a patch and threat actors actively exploiting the vulnerability out in the wild.
Yeah, the grace period is just gone.
Completely done. The comforting illusion that defenders have weeks to roll out a patch is dead. So today, we're going to explore how these attacks actually work under the hood.
And more importantly, the concrete, non-obvious defender actions you can take to protect your infrastructure.
Exactly, because you need to know what to do next.
We have three distinct threats to examine today. We've got SAP Commerce Cloud, Broadcom VMware vCenter, and this newly discovered Linux botnet called EVU1 Bot.
A really diverse spread.
It is. But instead of just looking at these as, isolated incidents, we're going to see how they represent a much larger escalation in attacker sophistication.
Right, moving from the application layer all the way down.
Down to the core virtualization infrastructure, and then out to the forgotten edges of your network. Okay, let's unpack this by starting with the most extreme example of this shrinking timeline.
Oh, this first one is a nightmare.
It really is. We are looking at a vulnerability designated as CVE-2026-58231, and this affects SAP Commerce Cloud.
And right out of the gate, I mean, we are dealing with a perfect 10.0 on the CVSS scoring system.
A 10. You do not see a perfect 10 every day.
You really don't. It means this is as bad as it gets.
Bye.
Functionally, this all comes down to insufficient authorization checks and input validation.
Okay, so in plain English for everyone listening.
In plain English, SAP Commerce Cloud is basically allowing an unauthenticated attacker to abuse a default authentication client.
So they don't even need to be logged in.
Right, zero credentials needed. They can just submit a specially crafted web request to certain functions, and it just completely bypasses the bouncer at the door.
Wow, so without a username, without a password, or any prior access at all, anyone on the internet who can reach that specific endpoint can just run arbitrary code.
Exactly. They can compromise internal components, steal data, or just take the whole system offline entirely.
Basically, they own the system.
Completely own it. But, the severity isn't even the most alarming part here.
Right, the timeline is.
Yes. The security firm Diffuse Cyber reported that exploitation attempts started hitting their honeypots just 3 days after the patch was released.
3 days. And just for those who might not be deep in the weeds on this, a honeypot is essentially a decoy server we set up on the internet, right?
Yeah, a totally isolated system.
Right, isolated just to watch who tries to break into it and how they do it. Hitting those honeypots in 3 days is wild.
It's unbelievable. Especially because there was no public proof of concept or PC available.
Wait, really? None at all?
None. What's fascinating here is the sheer level of sophistication required to pull that off without a blueprint.
Because usually they wait for some researcher to publish a guide, right?
Exactly. When a vulnerability is announced, attackers usually wait for a security researcher to publish a PC. It acts as a basic guide on how the exploit works.
But they didn't have that here.
No. Without that, these attackers had to download the software patch the exact moment it was released by SAP. And then they performed something called binary diffing. They took the new patched version of the software and they compared it line by line, byte by byte, against the old vulnerable version.
Oh, wow. It's like getting two almost identical pictures and playing a massive game of spot the differences.
Yes, precisely. They're trying to figure out exactly what the developers tried to hide or fix.
Right.
So by isolating the exact lines of code that changed, they worked backward to understand the underlying flaw. And from there, they wrote a functional private exploit completely from scratch.
And doing all of that reliably enough to start spraying internet honeypots in 72 hours, I mean, that requires a highly mature
You're
capability.
highly mature and Honestly, likely heavily automated.
Yeah. I mean, if they're doing it in 3 days, standard monthly patch cycles are just dead.
Dead in the water.
So my first instinct as a defender, if I can't patch an enterprise SAP system instantly, is to just block the bad IP addresses or apply a quick software update, right?
You'd think so, but that can't be enough here.
Really? Why not?
Well, according to the SAP security company Onapsys, patching in isolation simply won't save you.
Okay, so what's the move?
You absolutely must patch to the fixed commerce cloud release levels, obviously, but crucially, you have to fully rebuild and redeploy the updated SAP Commerce Cloud version.
Oh, the full rebuild.
Yeah, the way the software compiles and runs means the fix has to be deeply integrated into the running environment.
So just a surface level update leaves residual vulnerabilities.
Exactly. It leaves you wide open.
But wait, if you are a massive enterprise, a full rebuild and redeployment could take a week, easily.
Right. And that's where the immediate temporary workaround comes in.
Okay, what is it?
Onapsys advises configuring an IP filter set deep within SAP Commerce Cloud itself.
To block everything.
To aggressively restrict access, you limit the vulnerable endpoint only to heavily vetted known internal IP addresses until that full redeployment is complete.
So you essentially put the application in a quarantine bubble.
Exactly, a quarantine bubble.
That makes a lot of sense. So, all right. We move from a 3-day window for a commerce application to our next report.
Yeah, this one is a bit different.
Right. We step out of the application layer and look at an attack on the underlying core infrastructure
The
itself.
foundation.
Yeah. The window here is 5 days. And if rapid exploitation of an app is scary, it's significantly worse when an advanced persistent threat, or APT, is hijacking the very servers that run your business.
Absolutely terrifying.
Let's talk about Broadcom VMware vCenter and CVE 2026-593 Stecco.
So this one carries a CVSS score of 9.8.
Still incredibly high.
Very high. It is a severe directory traversal vulnerability. Broadcom released the fix on July 29th, 2026.
And when did the attack start?
Exploitation began exactly 5 calendar days later.
5 days. Just to ground this for the listeners, how does a directory traversal actually give an attacker control of a vCenter server?
Well, think of a web server as a highly restricted file cabinet.
Yeah.
The web application is only supposed to be able to read files from one specific drawer. A directory traversal flaw allows an attacker to manipulate the file paths in their web requests. They're literally typing commands that tell the server to go up a directory.
So moving outside of that restricted drawer.
Exactly. Outside of the restricted web root, suddenly they are browsing the core operating system files of the vCenter server.
Oh, bad.
Very bad. They're accessing sensitive configuration files and ultimately finding ways to execute arbitrary code on the hypervisor that's managing all your virtual machines.
Now, the intelligence on this specific campaign comes from a German incident response company called Quirizo, right?
Yes, Querezo.
And they assessed with moderate confidence that this campaign is being operated by a suspected China Nexus, Chinese-speaking threat actor.
That's right.
Now, looking objectively at the facts Quirizo laid out, what actually led them to that specific attribution? We don't want to just guess here.
Right. It's not a guess. It is based on a convergence of technical artifacts.
Lytle.
Well, Quirizo found Chinese language artifacts embedded directly in the attacker-created scripts. They also noted the reuse of highly specific vulnerability research.
Research that was public.
Research that had previously only appeared in a Chinese security publication.
Interesting.
Plus, the hands-on keyboard activity perfectly matched UTC plus 8 working hours. And notably, the victimology explicitly excluded mainland China.
That is a lot of converging evidence. And the victimology is massive, by the way.
Yeah, it's global.
They estimate 361 unique victim IP addresses across 47 countries.
Huge spread.
Yeah, the top 5 most impacted were Germany with 55 infections, the US with 41, Turkey with 38, Iran with 26, and France with 25.
Just hitting everywhere.
But looking at the attack chain, they didn't just use this directory traversal on its own, did they? They chained it together with an older flaw.
Yes, the complexity here is just staggering. Before they even used the directory traversal, they utilized an authentication bypass flaw from earlier in the month.
Which was CVE 2026-59309, right?
Exactly. They used that older bypass to interface directly with the vSphere Discovery REST API.
And for those who don't know, the REST API is just a programmatic way for administrators to query and manage the vCenter environment.
Right. It's a normal admin tool, but the attackers manipulated it to silently spawn highly privileged administrative accounts.
Without anyone noticing.
Exactly. And they hid this activity by masquerading their user agent strings.
Meaning they faked their identity.
Yeah, making their malicious commands look like normal, routine VMware traffic in the logs.
Wow. But wait. I read the end of that report.
Oh, yeah. The payload.
Yeah. After this incredibly stealthy, highly sophisticated attack chain, they deployed Babook-derived ransomware on the servers.
Yep. They dropped ransomware.
Isn't ransomware usually the tool of financially motivated cyber criminals trying to make a quick buck, not state-sponsored espionage?
You'd think so, but...
I mean, here's where it gets really interesting. Why would an ATT use ransomware?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it actually makes a dark kind of sense from an espionage perspective.
How so?
We are increasingly seeing advanced persistent threats utilize ransomware not for extortion, but as an operational smokescreen.
A smokescreen. Okay, explain that.
When a nation-state actor spends weeks stealing sensitive data, they leave behind forensic footprints, log files, command histories, dropped binaries, all of it.
Evidence.
Exactly. Evidence. So by deploying ransomware on their way out the door, they encrypt the entire vCenter environment.
Well, I see. They actively destroy the forensic evidence of their espionage.
Exactly. The incident response team is so busy dealing with a catastrophic ransomware outage that the data exfiltration goes completely unnoticed.
That is a chilling tactic.
It's brutally effective.
So for the defenders listening, managing their virtualization infrastructure, what is the action plan beyond just applying that July 29 patch?
Yeah.
Because clearly, patching just isn't happening fast enough.
No, it's not. You have to shift your mindset from just patching to active behavioral hunting.
Behavioral hunting. What does that look like in practice here?
Defenders need to actively monitor their REST APIs for anomalous vSphere discovery behavior. You should have firm alerts set up for any sudden, unexpected creation of administrative accounts.
Right.
Furthermore, you cannot trust your logs at face value anymore. You need to hunt for those masqueraded user agent strings.
Because they're faking legitimate traffic.
Exactly. If a connection claims to be legitimate VMware traffic, but it's originating from an unusual subnet or executing highly unusual API calls, you need the capability to flag and isolate that immediately.
Okay, that makes total sense. So far, we've been looking squarely at the core data center.
The crown jewel.
Right. We have APTs racing to weaponize flaws in highly critical systems like SAP and vCenter.
Mm-hmm.
But our third report highlights a completely different philosophy.
A total shift in tactics.
Yeah. While everyone is guarding the core vault, the perimeter of the building is quietly being assimilated. We need to talk about EVU 1 Bot.
This is such a fascinating contrast to the APTs.
It really is. So EVU 1 Bot is a newly documented Linux botnet family discovered by Fortinet FortiGuard Labs, right?
Yes.
And it has been active since July 2026. It derives its core DDoS engine from the publicly leaked Mirai botnet source code.
Which we've seen a million times.
Right. But this is effectively a Swiss Army knife for the network edge.
It really is. It has an SSH brute force scanner, credential sniffers, and just a really aggressive exploit arsenal.
A huge arsenal.
But unlike the APTs we just talked about, it isn't chasing 0 days or reverse engineering fresh patches in 3 days. It's targeting older, unpatched edge devices.
Right. It thrives on the long tail of forgotten hardware.
The long tail. Let's list some of these out because the report lists 8 specific security flaws it targets.
Yeah, the diversity is wild.
It goes after Hikvision cameras using a flaw from 2021.
2021.
Right. It targets Atlassian Confluence, WSO2, and Zyxel firewalls with vulnerabilities from 2022.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It hits TP-Link routers using a 2023 flaw. And then it rounds out the arsenal with more recent 2024 and 2025 vulnerabilities in PHP, D-Link devices, and even Kubernetes environments.
It just casts such a wide net. Let me stop you there, though. A vulnerability in a Hikvision camera from 2021, that is 5 years old.
It's ancient in cyber years.
Why is a modern, sophisticated botnet wasting space in its code to target a 5-year-old flaw?
Because the edge of the network is completely dominated by this deploy and forget culture.
Deploy and forget.
Yeah. When an organization installs a firewall or an internet-connected security camera, it often just sits there for years. Nobody logs into the management interface.
Right. Nobody's checking for firmware updates on a thermostat.
Exactly. So to a botnet, a 5-year-old vulnerability on a forgotten IP camera is just as valuable as a 0-day on a core server.
Wow. And the way it infects these devices is incredibly clinical.
It's very slick.
It executes a loader script, which then checks the exact CPU architecture of that specific router or camera and pulls down a custom-fitted botnet binary.
It's tailored for that device.
Yeah. And before it even detonates, it checks to see if it's running inside a security researcher's sandbox. It clears the bash history so administrators can't see the commands it just ran.
Covering its track.
Exactly. Then it establishes encrypted communications over port 443.
That port 443 detail is absolutely vital.
Why is it so important?
Well, by using the standard port for secure web browsing, its command and control traffic blends seamlessly into the everyday HTTPS noise of the network.
It just looks like regular web traffic.
Exactly. But the true danger of EVU Unbot isn't just that it launches DDoS attacks. The FortiGuard report states it actively transforms these infected routers, firewalls, and cameras into SOCKS5 proxies.
So what does this all mean? Essentially, EVU Unbot isn't just breaking into a router to take it offline like old DDoS attacks.
Right? No, it's far more insidious.
It's turning your internet-facing security camera into a digital ski mask for threat actors to hide behind while they launch other attacks.
That's a great way to put it. And this raises an important question about attribution and how we actually define our network perimeter today.
Okay, let's talk about the mechanics of a SOCKS5 proxy then. How does it work?
It essentially routes network packets between a client and server, completely masking the original source.
Masking the attacker.
Right. So if a threat actor in Eastern Europe wants to attack a financial institution in New York, they don't attack directly.
They route it.
They route their attack through your infected TP-Link router in a small branch office. To the bank's security team, the malicious traffic looks like it's coming from your legitimate, albeit forgotten, router.
Oh, wow. So you get the blame.
Exactly. It makes downstream attribution incredibly difficult for defenders, and it puts your organization's IP reputation at massive risk.
So if the generic advice is just, you know, audit your devices and patch them, that clearly isn't working if 2021 flaws are still prevalent out there.
It's totally failing.
Give us a non-obvious takeaway here. How do defenders structurally fight a botnet that feeds on the forgotten corners of the internet?
The non-obvious answer here is rigid network segmentation, specifically for IoT devices.
Okay, segmenting.
You cannot rely on patching every light bulb and security camera in your enterprise. You just won't do it. You have to assume they will be compromised.
So what do you do with them?
Devices like IP cameras or smart thermostats should be placed on a completely isolated VLAN, a virtual local area network.
Okay.
They should only be allowed to communicate with the specific internal server that manages them. They should have absolutely zero direct access to the wider internet or your core corporate network.
Ah, I see. So if EVU Unbot compromises a camera trapped in a restricted VLAN, the proxy is completely useless because it can't route traffic outward.
Exactly. You trap it in a box.
That is highly actionable. Segment the edge so that a breach goes literally nowhere.
Right.
And behaviorally, how do you spot the infection if it's already there?
You need to monitor your Linux-based edge devices for cleared bash histories.
Because it wipes the logs.
Yes. A system log suddenly being wiped is a glaring red flag. Furthermore, you have to monitor your network egress points for unexpected traffic volume over port 443.
Even though it's standard HTTPS?
Yes, it's standard. But an IP camera pointing at a parking lot should not suddenly be transmitting gigabytes of encrypted data to an unknown external server.
Right. That makes zero sense for a camera.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have to baseline the normal behavior for these dumb devices so that when they start acting like complex proxies, the anomaly triggers an immediate alert.
This is great. It really is a game of fundamentally shifting margins everywhere you look.
It's a whole new battlefield.
We started this deep dive with SAP Commerce Cloud, where we saw attackers bypass public proof of concepts entirely. They were reverse engineering binary patches to launch exploits in just 3 days.
Which is still hard to wrap my head around.
Yeah. And then we moved to VMware vCenter, where an APT weaponized an infrastructure flaw in 5 days.
Right. Manipulating APIs and dropping ransomware.
Dropping ransomware not for money, but to meticulously burn down the forensic evidence of their espionage. And finally, we look at the edge, where EVU Unbot is proving that the oldest, most forgotten vulnerabilities are being repurposed to build untraceable proxy networks.
Yeah, the through line connecting all three of these reports is that Relying solely on a vendor's patch release schedule is an obsolete security strategy.
It's just too...
way too slow. You have to operate under the assumption that the vulnerability is being actively weaponized the very second the patch notes go public.
Which brings us right back to that broken front door lock we talked about at the beginning.
Yeah, it does.
If human threat actors are currently successfully reverse engineering complex patches to build private exploits in a matter of 3 days...
And they are.
What happens next year? With threat actors increasingly leveraging AI and automated large language models to analyze those binary diffs and generate functional exploits, that three-day window is going to shrink to hours or even minutes.
It's inevitable.
Is the traditional concept of Patch Tuesday becoming entirely obsolete? How will organizations defend their networks when the window to patch effectively drops to zero?
That is the terrifying and very real horizon we are rapidly approaching.
It is something to seriously consider as you review those architectural changes and defender action items for your own networks. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the assumptions, keep learning, and we'll see you next time.